My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th, with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon, and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Visa. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Mark Moss Show, where we talk about the decentralized revolution. We're talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies. We're talking about the world, looking at through the lens of politics, finance, and technology to understand what is going on. And more importantly, where we are going, of course, how we should be navigating that. So we talk about that each and every week. So thanks for joining in. We got a lot to cover on this episode. I try to bring to you some, you know, teaching moments to kind of try to help you see things a little bit differently. Of course, as I like to say on my YouTube channel, almost everything you have learned is wrong. Almost everything they're telling you is wrong. And so you have to learn how to see through what we would call first order thinking and the second order, third order, look past headlines, learn how to see this differently. So of course we go through that, go through the latest breaking news of the week. So you're caught up to date, you know what's going on, and we want to know what's going on so we can see these changes as they move through. Of course, as investors, as people, as humans trying to get through this, we need to make sure that we're up to date on the news. I know a lot of people don't like to pay attention to it, and there's certainly lots of pointless stuff you don't need to be paying attention to. But as investors, as humans trying to navigate this, we want to be up to date on what's going on so we know how to move and react and accordingly. And I want to make you sound super smart when you go out this weekend to one of your cocktail parties. You'll know exactly what's going on. And then try to bring you some some really good guests so you don't have to just hear me talk all the time. And so today, for now, let's go ahead and jump into some big subjects. And some of these big subjects that I want to talk about today is I want to look at the evolution of money. Now, a lot of people don't understand what money is. We went through this a few weeks ago. I got back from the Freedom Fest where I spoke out in Vegas, which was really cool. By the way, check it out next year, Freedom Fest. I believe it's just freedomfest.com. And if you like freedom, then you should probably check it out. Hopefully you do like freedom. Today seems like freedom has become somewhat of like a dirty word or something like that. Somehow it's like some crazy right-wing ideology to want to be free. I don't get that, but I value freedom, and hopefully you do as well. And so check out that Freedom Fest. But anyway, when I got back from that, I was explaining how there's this real big misconception, or really just not even just a misunderstanding, but a lack of understanding of what money is. I get asked all the time, I mean, literally multiple times a day across social media. I get thousands of comments every single week across all my social media platforms. And I get asked multiple times a day, how do I go and tell somebody about Bitcoin? Or how do I tell someone about cryptocurrencies? Or what do I tell them, you know, et cetera. But it's very difficult when they don't understand what money is. So we went through that. If you missed that, don't worry. I got your back. You can go check it out on the podcast. Just search Mark Moss Podcast on your favorite podcast player, iTunes. If you check out iTunes or the iHeart Music app as well. That was probably 2 weeks ago. You can probably go back and find that. So we went through what money is, but I want to talk today about the evolution of money. And we're going to take it all the way to U.S. Treasuries, bonds. We're going to talk about the financial markets. So you can understand how this evolves, what money is, and how that fits into that. So hopefully that makes sense to you. So we're going to talk about the evolution of money. We're going to talk about risk assets, places that we put money, stores of value. We'll talk about how Bitcoin fits into that, correlation with stocks. We'll talk about commodities, other places we can put money. And then, like I said, take it all the way to U.S. Treasuries, which we have a really big report that just came out from Bloomberg Intelligence. You know, pretty credible people to listen to. And so I want to cover this new report talking about what they see happening with commodities and treasuries and Bitcoin. Lots to cover this week. So let's jump in. By the way, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. Of course, we talk about like what I like to call the decentralized revolution. If you don't know what that means, well, don't worry. I also recently did a show on that. So go back on the podcast and check out that episode if you want to know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about through the lens of politics, finance, and technology to see how this world is changing. And we're witnessing the pendulum shifting from centralization, swinging back to decentralization. So that's what we're talking about. So the first thing is, like I said, not going back into what is money. I've covered that at length, but really about the evolution of money. So what we use as money. So money, just real quickly, it's a store of value, or communicates value. It's communication. We can think of it as a favor. It's reflective of the goodwill that I put into the world. But what we want to use as money, what do we want to use to communicate that value? Well, it's changed throughout history. It's been many things. It's been rocks and feathers and seashells. It's been commodities. It's been wheat. It's been oil. It's been gold, right? Gold's been money for 5,000 years. And you have to understand first that nobody wants money. What they want is the things that money will get them, right? So what we want is goods and services. We want food. We want food. We want shelter. We want clothing. We want energy. And then we want other things after those basic things are taken care of. And so we want the things money will get us. We don't want the money. So in the beginning, we didn't have money. We just had barter. I wanted a chicken. You wanted a goat. So we would trade. But eventually, if you, I had a chicken, you had a goat, but the chicken's not worth one goat, and it's not really easy to divide the goat up, so we don't have a trade there, or you don't like chicken, so we have no trade there. So then I might say, well, hey, would you take this item instead? And now that item is what neither of us really wanted, but it becomes a medium of exchange, MOE. So in the evolution of money, we'll break down how this works, but it goes from this barter system to this medium of exchange. And what's important to understand is in this process, enough things become kind of common to be this medium of exchange that eventually one will emerge to become the best one. So it's emergent. So free markets choose it based off of what more people want than other things. Now, there's an evolution to how this money works. And so it starts out as typically collectibles. Remember, we don't want the money. We want the things that it gets us. So what I want is the goat, or I want the chicken. You don't want what I have. So would you take this other thing instead? So it has to be recognizable, has to be somewhat desirable. and you have, you know, widely accepted. So maybe you want to be able to trade that to somebody else. And so that medium of exchange would have this evolution to it. And so the way that works is typically it starts out as being a collectible. Hey, look at this cool rock. Look at this cool feather that I found. And it's cool. You like it. It's unique because it's unique because it's scarce. So, wow, you don't find rocks that look like this very often. This is super rare. Look how cool this rock is. Or look at this feather. I've never seen a feather like this before. This feather's amazing. I'm going to save this feather. This seashell, I've never seen this seashell. This seashell's not from around this area. We've never seen this before. This is really cool. I'm going to collect it. So see how that works? We don't collect things that are super common that you find everywhere. We collect things that are rare. So think about that first. The scarcity aspect of that, it must be unique, must be scarce. And then we collect it. And it could be baseball cards we collect. It could be seashells that we collect. I know my daughters, they love to collect sea glass. We're surfers, so we travel the world. We go to beaches all over the world. And everywhere we go, they like to find the sea glass, so bottles that have broken. They get tumbled in the sand and the rocks for, you know, who knows long, how long, years. And the sea glass is no longer sharp, jagged, broken glass. Instead, it gets rounded and smooth, and we can find it in green and blue and white and all these different colors of sea glass. And the bigger the pieces are, the smoother they are, the better, the more desirable they are. And then there's like some really unique colors. So like to find blue sea glass, for example, is very rare. How many bottles do you see that are blue, right? You don't see any. So to find the blue sea glass is way more desirable than like white sea glass is, because you see white sea glass all over the place. All right, green sea glass, you see a little bit more often. Anyway, I'm going to talk more about this evolution of money, and then we'll talk about different types of money, and then we'll start talking about different assets like stocks and then bonds and what this new report says. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show talking about the evolution of money. I'll be back with all of this and more in a minute. Don't go away. I'm going to be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution each and every week, talking about the way the world is changing, looking at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. Today, we're talking about the evolution of money, not what is money. We covered that before. Evolution of money. We're going to go into different types of money. We're going to go into risk assets like tech stocks. We're going to talk about the correlation of the new types of money with tech stocks. We're going to look at then the U.S. Treasuries, bonds, and I'm going to talk about a report that just came out from Bloomberg Intelligence that shows that the way or the evolution of money is alive and well today. And if you don't know what's going on, then you're going to be left behind. So back to what we were saying, we start collecting things. I was talking about how my daughters collect sea glass, and the more rare the sea glass is, the better it is, the more collectible it is. So blue sea glass being that. So these rocks, these feathers, they become rare. And eventually enough people start collecting these things that then they could, maybe, eventually, a collectible could evolve into what's known as a store of value. So the first type of money is a medium of exchange. Then the next is store of value. So some collectibles become good stores of value. Some don't. Now, today, we see rich people all over the world storing their wealth, storing their value, a store of value, in collectibles. So rare cars, old cars, jewelry, fine art, things like that, those become collectibles and they could store lots of wealth. They could store millions and millions of dollars in one car, in one painting. You could have $20 million, $30 million, $50 million in an art collection. So you're storing your wealth instead of storing it in cash in the bank or instead of storing it in stock, you're storing it in art, right? Or cars. Now, not all collectibles become stores of value. A lot of collectibles, most collectibles never do. So, you know, some baseball cards, some people probably have a lot of their wealth tied up in baseball cards, things like that. But if I found a really cool flower, for example, I might collect that flower. It's never going to be a good store of value because it's not durable. There could be lots of reasons why these collectibles never evolve. The reason why I'm breaking this down from this beginning is because I need you to understand this evolutionary process. If the right attributes are there, then it can evolve. If it doesn't have the right attributes, then it can't evolve. Now, it could have the right attributes and not evolve, but it has to have the right attributes. So I want you to understand this. So just because something isn't that future thing today doesn't mean that it won't eventually get there. All right, so I'm going to break that down a little bit more for you. But so that's how that works. So we start with a collectible. It could potentially evolve into a store of value like fine art. Now, if enough people collect it and if enough people park their wealth in it, store of value, their value in it, then it could maybe evolve to the next stage, which would be a medium of exchange. Okay, medium of exchange, MOE. Now, in order for it to be a good money and a good store of value, it has to have certain attributes. There's a lot of attributes of it. I typically like to think about five attributes of what money is. And so, in order for it to be a good money, it has to be, for a good store of value, it has to be durable. All right, so durable is one of those attributes. So bananas are not good stores of value or mediums of exchange because they're not durable. They last whatever, a week, right? And they go bad. So it must be durable. On top of that, it must be portable. So you need to be able to move it around. If we use cars, cars aren't real portable. I mean, I guess we could drive one, but like a collector's car, for example, fine art, it's not super portable. I can't put it in my pocket. I can't carry it with me. So it must be durable. It must be portable. It must be divisible. And so this is the problem. This is where barter fails, is I have this cow, but you don't want a whole cow, but I can't just take off a chunk of the cow. Same with a car. I have this, you know, whatever, 1950 Chevy. It's not divisible. You have to take the whole car. I'm not going to just break off a wheel and give you the wheel for that car. So it must be portable. It must be durable. So the car would be durable. It's not really portable. I can't take it in my pocket, carry it with me, and certainly not divisible. All right. Then it also has to be fungible. And so fungible means one is worth one. So an old dirty dollar that's ripped up and torn is worth one brand new crisp clean dollar, right? So it's fungible. $1 is always worth $1. And so again, most collectibles are not fungible. So one piece of sea glass is never the same as one other piece of sea glass. One baseball card is never the same as another baseball card. This one is a little bit in better condition than this one, right? So even if they're the exact same card, one might be in better condition. Collectible gold coins, for example. So they could be the same year, the same coin, but you know, one has a little bit more wear on it than the other, so they're not fungible. So we need it to be portable, divisible, durable, but it has to be fungible. Bananas aren't fungible, flowers aren't fungible, cars aren't fungible. Most collectibles, art, are not fungible, so it has to have that quality. And then it has to be saleable or recognizable. And so what good is it if I have this money, this collectible, that has all those attributes, but nobody wants it, right? So it would do me no good. And that's why we started to see money start to emerge as something that was recognizable by everybody. So gold emerged as that because gold had all those attributes, right? So gold is durable. You can't destroy gold. Gold could sit at the bottom of the ocean for 100 years and you could bring it back up and it'd be the same gold. So gold is very, very durable. All the gold that's been brought above ground is still in existence today. It doesn't get used up. So it's very durable. It's definitely divisible. You could break it down into ounces. You could break it down into grams, right? So it's divisible. It's recognizable. It's saleable. So people all over the world recognize gold. Gold is valued in every culture and every country of the world. Where gold really has a problem is in the portability. So it was pretty portable, right? I can break it into coins. I can put a bunch of coins in my pocket. I can carry it around. But the problem is when we moved into the information age is really where gold had a problem. And of course, really, it started earlier than that, about the 1400s, when we started doing global trade. It was very hard to send ships of gold across the seas without getting robbed by pirates and without crashing in the Caribbean and sending all that gold to the bottom of the sea. So you understand that this money has this evolutionary process, but the problem is today is that gold that's emerged as the best form of money doesn't really have that, the one of the main attributes we needed, which is portability and saleability. Now we now use dollars. The dollar is the most used money of the world today. It's the reserve currency of the entire world today. And it has a lot of the attributes. So it's definitely recognizable. It's saleable for sure. It's super portable, right? So I don't even carry cash anymore. Now I can just zip it around electronically, right, with debit cards and wire transfers and things like that. So it's definitely portable. So it's recognizable. It's portable. It's divisible, right? I can easily wire you $1 million or I could give you a penny, right? So it's divisible down to a penny. The problem is that it's not very scarce. It doesn't work as a good store of value. So there's trade-offs with each one of these things. Gold could be a better store of value, while money has other properties such as it's more portable. All right, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the evolution of money. We're looking at it through the lens of gold and money and other assets that are emerging today. We're going to go and look at it all the way through stocks and other things like that, and then into treasury bonds, which are the best form of money for sovereigns today. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I got a lot more to cover when I come back. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Lowe's knows home improvement. Lowe's, official sponsor for the 2024 NFL Draft.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, of course, like we do each and every week. If you're not tuned in each and every week, what are you even doing? If you're listening on the radio, and you're not driving, grab your phone, pull over if you are driving, grab your phone, put out a reminder for this date, this time, this channel. Make sure you tune in with me each and every week. And if you don't, if you miss out, if you missed any of this, don't worry. You can catch it on the podcast. Just go search Mark Moss Podcast, The Mark Moss Show, on any of your favorite podcast players, on iTunes, on the iHeart Music app, or wherever you listen to those. All right, so we're talking about this evolution of money so you can understand how this is working. We're going to take it all the way through, all the way to different types of money, including treasury bonds, like U.S. treasuries, which are basically considered risk-free assets. So we're going to take it all the way to there. But we started with the evolution of money, starting with barter, seashells, rocks, feathers, etc. Talked about how one emerged, gold. And we talked about the shortcomings of gold. And so now gold, it's not portable. And so we had to put debt on top of it, which were the paper gold certificates, the dollars. But then those have shortcomings as well because they're not scarce. And so they print too many of them. So that's a big problem of them. And also, they're basically liabilities. And so if I have the gold, I have the gold, no one has the gold, but the paper gold certificates mean that somebody owes me something. So you can see those different types of money. Now, I framed that up, and now let's talk about the new evolution of money, which is Bitcoin, which a lot of you might be rolling your eyes, and I hear it all the time, which is, oh, Bitcoin, Bitcoin's not good money because it's too volatile. Bitcoin's not good because it's XYZ, fill in the blank. It's too volatile is typically what we hear. It's not a good store of value. Look how much it's down from its all-time high, right? And those types of things. And so the reason why we started with this evolution process is so that you can understand that nothing emerges completely built. It's always an evolution. All technologies are like that. If you saw like a little baby animal being born or a human being born, right? I mean, you say, there's no way that little baby would ever be, you know, an all-star athlete, for example. Look how small the baby can't even sit up. It can't even hold its head up. It's like, well, give it time. Like, it will grow. It could become that all-star athlete. It's like if you were looking at, you know, whatever, LeBron James when he was, 8 years old. No way he'll ever be a good basketball player. Look how small he is. It's like, well, did you see his parents? And did you see, like, his pedigree? Like, he has a good chance of becoming that. Doesn't mean he will, but he could. If we were walking through the forest and we're like, hey, look at this little tree. Can you believe one day it's going to be this giant oak tree? And you're like, no way, Mark, you're stupid. Look how small that tree is. There's no way that will ever be a big tree. And it's like, well, it's an oak tree. And so the reason why I say that is because that's about how ridiculous people say when they say something like that about Bitcoin. No way Bitcoin would ever be. It's too volatile. It can never be used as a medium exchange. Nobody accepts it. It's not used enough. Okay, that's all fair, just like that small oak tree. But it doesn't mean that it can't become that one day. And so everybody's expecting way too much too soon. I mean, we go back to the internet days, for example. And the internet, really the first WWW went live in 1990, 1995, Netscape happened, and all of a sudden the big money came in with the IPOs. And so from 1995 to 2000, you had every .com in the world, and you know, you put .com on a name and you got a bunch of money from venture capitalists. And you had everything. You had webvan.com and pets.com and all these things, but they all went out of business because by the year 2000, 10 years later, still nobody was buying stuff online. The internet was too slow. It didn't really work for that. There was nobody using it. Less than 10% of people had ever bought anything online by that time. So a decade went by. And the same thing was said, this internet's stupid. No one's ever going to use it to buy anything. As a matter of fact, true story, in 2001, after the dot-com crash, I thought it'd be a good idea to start an e-commerce business and sell products online, which of course today seems like a no-brainer. We buy everything online. But in the year 2000, that's not how it was. In the year 2001, after the dot-com crash, after all these dot-coms blew up and it looked ridiculous, I built an e-commerce store. It was not easy. There was no Shopify. There was no WordPress. I had to hire a developer. I think it was like $25,000 to build this e-commerce store. And I went to these companies and I said, hey, I built this. I want to sell your products on my website. And they laughed at me and they told me no one would ever buy anything online. And I said, well, I beg to differ. I think they will. And, you know, I built this website and I want to sell your products. I said, I'm willing just to give you the money and you know, I'll give you the money. And if I don't sell, it's on me. And they said, no, we don't even want our products being sold online. And so again, they couldn't see that evolution. Sure, that was true. In the year 2000, a full decade after the internet went public, nobody was buying anything online. But it didn't mean that nobody ever would. And so you have to be able to kind of see the future. Now, talking about seeing the future, look at Netflix. So Netflix, so like flicks like movies on the net, on the internet, right? Makes sense. Today we stream movies on the internet, on Netflix, right? But when it first launched in 1997, there was no movies on the internet. There was no flicks on the net. It didn't work like that. The internet was way too slow. You couldn't watch movies online. And so Netflix started with a model where they would mail, using snail mail, mail you a DVD to your house. And I think the way it used to work is you would keep three at a time. And so you could choose any three movies that you wanted. They'd send them to you. When you were done, you send them back. And you always had your queue, and they'd just send you new movies. But they saw the future. They knew that even though the internet was way too slow to be used for movies that day, they still named the company Netflix. And of course, today now we do that. But most people at that time couldn't see that. And so if you're the type of person that can see that this evolution process could work, then you have an edge. Right now you have an edge because you have this imagination. You have this ability to see that. The people that saw that vision with Netflix and invested in 1997 have made massive amounts of money because they were able to see that vision while most people couldn't. And so today we're witnessing another evolutionary process happening, and a lot of people discount it. No way it's ever going to happen. Well, could. It has all the attributes necessary. So let's talk about that. So Bitcoin is scarce. There's never going to be more than 21 million. So it's better than gold because even though gold has a very low inflation rate, the amount of new gold coming into the world today is very low. It's still going up. So there's an infinite amount of gold as far as we know. So it's more scarce than gold, definitely way more scarce than dollars. It's durable. You can't destroy it. You can't steal it. You can't hack it. So it's more durable than gold, definitely more durable than dollars. It's divisible. So gold's divisible down to, you know, a gram, and dollars divisible down to a penny. Bitcoin is potentially infinitely divisible. But where it really wins is it is more portable. And so right now I could send you Bitcoin anywhere in the world within a split second, but I couldn't send you gold in a split second. And so it wins on all those. But again, you say, but Mark, look how volatile it is. It could never be money. Well, remember, there's an evolution. So it starts as a collectible. People started collecting Bitcoin. Then it evolved to a store of value. Now, it's still not the best store of value because it's still pretty volatile. However, yes, it's down from its high, but it's up from its low. So yes, it's down. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. And then eventually it could move into the medium exchange. Now, a couple things I want to talk about on this. So one, but it just trades like a tech stock. It moves like the NASDAQ. Okay, so I want to talk about that specifically. We're talking about tech stocks, and we'll talk about the NASDAQ. I want to talk about the correlation. I want to talk about how the correlation has changed and why that's actually a good thing, a feature, not a bug. So we're going to talk about that. And then I want to talk about commodities and treasuries and talk about this new report that came out by Bloomberg Intelligence that you need to know about. So I'm going to cover all of that and more. You're listening to The Mark Maugh Show if you're just tuning in. We're talking about, of course, each and every week, the decentralized revolution that's happening as the pendulum of the world is swinging from centralization back to decentralization. We are witnessing it happening all over the world. It's messy. That's part of the reason that we see this happening. Of course, we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology each and every week. And I'm trying to open up your mind, give you this new context so you can see what is happening right here in front of you so you don't miss out like all of those people that didn't want to buy Netflix in 1997 or told me you don't want to buy anything online. All right, you're listening to The Mark Maugh Show. I got a lot more to cover when I get back, so don't go away. I'll be right back.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all seven rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the NFL.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Maugh Show. We talk about the decentralized revolution. Of course, we're talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, the way the world is changing. And we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. We're talking about the evolutionary process of money, how money changes, how we went from seashells, into gold, and then we went into dollars, and now this new evolution of Bitcoin. Not going to recap all that, but I'm going to talk about the pushback, the objections that we hear to Bitcoin are because people don't understand there's an evolutionary process. Just because it's not that today doesn't mean it won't ever be that way, right? You have to understand that. So Bitcoin's volatile. Let's talk about that. Bitcoin just moves like a stock. It's too volatile. So yes, it does. It moves like a risk on asset, like a tech stock, like the NASDAQ. So risk on assets move differently than other type of assets or risk off assets. So for example, in November of 2021, when the Federal Reserve came out and said that they were going to go into raising rates and quantitative tightening, risk on assets sold off, meaning the NASDAQ and Bitcoin at the same time made new highs and started selling this off. And they've been on decline ever since. And the S&P 500 didn't start selling off until January. So we see that happening. So Bitcoin has been trading like a tech stock, but it's not a tech stock. It's like that, but it's not. But what happens is we have this correlation. So that means that it's moving with it most of the time. And that most of the time is the key piece here. So what we can see is that the correlation with the NASDAQ has been 90%. So 90% of the time, Bitcoin has moved like a tech stock, like the NASDAQ, since January 1st of 2017. But what about the 10% of the time that it's not correlated? And that's the key piece here. So what we can see is that in 2013, we saw the correlation drop. And during that 10% of the time it wasn't correlated, Bitcoin moved up by 1,100%, 1,100%. Then in 2013, we saw it again, and it became uncorrelated, and it moved up by 580%. Then in 2017, we saw it become uncorrelated and move up 330%. So while it may be correlated 90% of the time, it's the 10% of the time that it's not, that it's making these massive moves. But what we're also seeing is that the correlation is waning, or it's getting less and less and less. And so what we can see is since 2013, it was correlated 0.91, 91% of the time. But since 2017, it dropped, and it's been down to 90% of the time. Not a huge drop, but it's a drop. But in the last 12 months, it's only been correlated 80% of the time. So there's an evolutionary process. As Bitcoin gets bigger, as it gets more widely adopted, as it gets more use, then the volatility and the correlation go down. Volatility, we saw it have 95% drawdowns. Then it had 90% drawdowns. Then it had 85% drawdowns. And then 80, and then 75. And now we're at like about a 70% drawdown. So now we're starting to see the drawdowns, meaning from the highest point to back to the lowest point in that cycle, is getting less and less, from 95, 90, 85, 80. Now we're into 70% drawdown. So the volatility is getting less and the correlation is getting less at the same time. The evolution is happening. Now, back to this article I've been teasing up. There's an article that just came out this week from Bloomberg Intelligence. So Bloomberg, you know, pretty widely respected name. And this article came out and it says that Bitcoin may behave more like U.S. Treasury bonds, per Bloomberg Intelligence. So you have Treasury bonds are what's called a risk-free asset. This is where typically you'll see, you know, big institutions, pensions, et cetera, but really sovereign nations will park their wealth. If you got, you know, $100 billion, you don't just put it in Wells Fargo or JP Morgan Chase. You're typically buying treasuries with that. And that's the biggest type of collateral risk-free assets. And they're saying that Bitcoin may behave more like treasury bonds. And it says Bitcoin markets will behave more like that of treasury bonds and gold during a market recovery. So per the latest crypto market research from Bloomberg Intelligence, Bitcoin is starting to behave more like United States treasury bonds and gold rather than stocks. So in this month, in this crypto outlook report, it was put together by Mike McGlone and another analyst, Jamie Coutts. They compared Bitcoin to those of gold, bonds, and oil. And they said that the macroeconomic influences, so the bigger influences of the economy, the jobs reports, commodities, the cycles, things like that, such as the Federal Reserve's monetary policies, yeah, like the Fed, increasing the money supply, decreasing the money supply, have resulted in similarities in treasury bond markets and Bitcoin. So most people think that Bitcoin's way too risky. It's way too volatile. No one would ever think of comparing it to a treasury bond, which is considered a risk-free asset, but they're saying that's exactly what's happening. They say that tightening markets and plunging global growth support the Federal Reserve shift to a, quote, meeting-by-meeting bias in July, which may help pivot Bitcoin toward a directional tilt more like U.S. Treasury bonds than stocks. So Bitcoin is moving away from being like a stock, and it's moving, it's evolving, it's changing to becoming more like a treasury bond. Now, look, they didn't say it, and I am not saying it. It is not, it is not like a treasury bond today, but they're saying that it's starting to become more like that. So it's evolving. They added that a, quote, dump following pump nature of commodities and receding bond yields suggest an increase in the probability of bonds and gold and Bitcoin being buoyed as inflation decreases. So what does that mean? So commodities kind of have this pump and dump. They're saying a dump following pump nature of commodities. So commodities are real things, tangible things, oil, wheat, gold, etc. And so we've seen money has flown out of stocks and equities into commodities, into real things. When they print unlimited amounts of fake fiat currency, people are going to want to go buy real hard things. And so it moved into commodities. But the commodities have a little bit of this dump following pump. So they crash down and then they pump back up. But also we're seeing bond yields. Bond yields have been getting smashed. Bond yields suggest an increase in the probability of bonds and gold and Bitcoin being buoyed as inflation decreases. So Bitcoin, you typically think of Bitcoin and risk on assets like the NASDAQ going up in a high inflation environment. But what they're saying is that they think that there's an increase of probability. They're not saying 100%, but they're an increase in percentage, the chance, the probability that bonds, gold, and Bitcoin could go up together as inflation actually decreases. So that's what they're saying. Bitcoin has worked really well in an inflationary environment, but they're now saying that Bitcoin could work also with gold and bonds in a deflationary environment is what they're saying. The analyst said that the fact that Bitcoin was 70% below its peak at the start of August, so as of a few days ago, but it's still five times higher than its March 2020 low, quotes, shows its potential. So, well, everybody wants to tell you, it's 70% off of its peak. How's Bitcoin doing? It didn't hold its value. It's down so much. Yes, they said that. The fact that it's 70% below its peak, but it's 500%, five times higher than it was 2 years ago. So you got to look at both. If you're going to look at both, you got to look at the glass, right? Is it half empty? Is it half full? Well, it is down 70%, but it's also up 500%. They say the same thing that I've been saying for a long time. $20,000 is a key zone of support. They believe it's the same similar base as 5,000 was back in 2018, 2019. They said that Bitcoin has been one of the best performing assets since its inception a decade ago, and we think more of the same is ahead, particularly as it may be transitioning towards global collateral, which with results more aligned with treasury bonds or gold. So more of the same is ahead, more outperformance as it transitions, as the evolutionary process happens. It benefits those that can see the future and are willing to take a bet on that. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. That's what I got for today. Thanks so much for listening.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all seven rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Visa. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.